Show me your power. Let me in more of you. It's what I need.
I want your glory.
Let me. Rejecting the love in your warm embrace, but I realize I need you more and more each day.
I need your glory.
Oh, I need you.
I want your glory.
I want your glory.
Less of me
and more of you.
Needs the blood, yes. Good morning. The sun is shining on both sides of the street, on you and on me. This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It's a good day to be alive, and we just thank God for another day's journey. Good morning, and welcome, Blog Talk listeners all around this beautiful world to Running for Christ Ministries Saturday morning worship service. I am Kathy Clyburn, your presiding person for this Saturday morning worship experience, brought to you by Running for Christ Ministries, a church of teaching, learning, and doing. We thank God for each and every one of you who tune in regularly, and we ask that you tell someone else that this Saturday worship service is happening. As always, we will start out with scripture and prayer, and at Running for Christ Ministries, we believe is vital, and the Word of God tells us so. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct our path. And we have to help us do so is our very own sister, Rebecca Johnson. Good morning, and thanks for being with us this morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Amen.
Good morning, Blog Talk Radio listeners. This morning's scripture is titled Love in Action. It's from Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, "It is mine to avenge. I will repay," says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Let us pray. Lord God our Father, we give thanks today for this opportunity to once again offer you some much-deserved praise and thanksgiving. We ask that you fill with your Holy Spirit everyone who will take part in this worship service. Lord, we thank you for life, love, family, friendship, and fellowship. Lord, we ask that you hear and answer the prayers of faith that are lifted to you by your people, and that you heal the sick and comfort the many bereaved. Lord, bless the preacher with a word from you for all of us to hear and obey and be blessed by. Lord, we pray that our songs, prayers, and the preach word lifts up Jesus so that all those who are lost will be found by you. Dear Father, we thank you for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and it is in his mighty and wonderful name that we ask for these blessings. Amen.
Amen. That is my so favorite scripture, love in action. Thank you, Sister Johnson, for reading the scripture and prayer this morning. You know we appreciate you.
Thank you for having me.
You're welcome. Have a wonderful day.
You too.
Thanks. All right. Now that we have acknowledged our ways unto the Lord, we will continue to be ministered with our song selection service with our very own shepherd, Pastor O. Take it away, Pastor O.
Where would I go without your hand holding me? And how could I live without you? I can't see. Lord, what would I do Where would I go? How would I handle things? All that I know is I'm mine again. Lord, I fall so short, you know my end, Lord, from the start, you know my heart, I need you, I need you, say now
day this way every single day. I make it a point. I usually won't even answer the phone until after 10 o'clock unless Jesus tell me to. Other than that, I'm not going to answer. Why? Because Jesus gets the best part of my day. Because once I get going, you know, that's that. All right? But I give him the best part of my day, my waking hours, when I'm at my best. Okay? The rest of the day, I'm just falling off. But Jesus gets my best hours. Why? Because I just love to wake up in the morning and hanging and talking with him. Amen? Before all the stuff started happening, before I start answering this phone and one disaster after another come at me, amen, I'm not worried. They ain't my disasters. They're somebody else's disasters, but the Lord had brought me into the mix so we could help fix the disaster. Amen? But I love waking up with Jesus. I don't like getting up in the morning and just rushing off into life, and then later on in the day I bring Jesus in after I done hit the ground 15 times. Amen. Amen. Jesus needs to become our life. Your life, as the Bible says, is hidden in Christ. And your life won't be fully revealed until he appears. So your life is in Christ. Say this with me. Say, Jesus, you are my life.
I'm not afraid to
say that and Jesus say, amen, so be it, that's the way it is. If Jesus is your life, let me help you out right here. I want you to be blessed because I know sometimes we listen to these songs and we agree with them and we become all emotional and even shed tears. But let me help you out. I'm going to help you out. I'm Pastor O, so you know I'm going to give you some good old raw coffee like Crystal say, right? This ain't got this coffee don't even have water in it. Amen. It's that strong. It's nothing but grounds. Amen. It's that strong. If Jesus is your life, every day you're telling somebody about him who don't know him. If Jesus is your life, then you're helping somebody who does know him how to live better for him, according to his word. If Jesus is your life, you make it your business. You're intentional about helping somebody in or outside the body of Christ, and that's on a daily basis, because he did it every single day. He said, my Father's, amen, desire is my desire. Wherever the Father is, that's where I am. I allow the Father to use my hands to do whatever he wants to do. I allow him to use my mouth to say whatever he wants to say. That's when we can say Jesus is my life. A lot of us can only say Jesus becoming my life. But Jesus knows when he is your life. And we are so into making other people believe that we so into Jesus. Amen. But does Jesus agree with you being so into him? You say you're so into him. Does he know that? He's the only one you want to know that. The Lord wants us to get to this place where we're not, you know, Matthew 6:33 tells us straight out. It says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness and all the things. God will just add those things to you so you can spend all your time chasing him, and he'll chase down the things, and the things will chase you down and overtake you, like the Lord said in Deuteronomy 28:1, right? God wants us to get in his presence, y'all. The Lord Jesus is striving to get us to the place where his presence is enough.
I am a man blessed beyond my dreams, but it don't mean nothing. Life's not good as it seems. Love and riches, what do they really mean? They may come and go, but you will never leave. So save your treasure, we find our pleasure. All our joy is in you, just want more of you. Oh, save your treasure, we find our pleasure. Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
And I'm thankful because
you are our reward.
Your presence.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Your presence is a gift.
Father, we're desperate for your presence. Like we need air, like we need water. More than anything, we need your presence.
We find
our pleasure, all our joy is in you. In your presence, there's fullness of joy. In your right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. So say, we find our pleasure. It's in you. It's in you.
Your presence is a gift.
I'm thankful to call
you.
Your presence is a gift. I said you.
memory with you. I'm over it now, but you know, every morning when I wake up, the Lord is right there. He is the first person that speaks to me right there, and I got used to that. And then one morning I woke up and I didn't hear nothing, and I said, Jesus, and I didn't hear nothing. I say, Holy Spirit, are you still here? And I didn't hear nothing. And then I started to cry, and the Lord says, I'm here. He was trying to teach me a lesson, and what he was teaching me was, don't just because I don't say nothing, just because you don't hear nothing, don't you think I'm not there. I told you I'll never leave you or forsake you. Do you believe that? I said, yes. And then I said, you play too much, Jesus. You scared me to death. Amen. 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 I'm telling you, get close to him. Oh, I don't even want to start preaching already, but get close to him, and he'll get close to you, and you will say, wow, Pastor, oh, what crazy Jesus do know how to talk. Yes, he does. What does God's will mean to you? What does God know his will means to you? If the Lord's will is for you to go to church on Sunday, do you go? If the Lord's will is for you to be in Bible class on Wednesday, are you there? If the Lord's will is for you to study to show yourself approved unto him, become a workman who don't need to be ashamed, one who can rightly divide the word of truth, are you doing that? What does God's will mean to you? Or are you trying to make your will God's will?
I'm so confused. Broken heart is a part of your plan. When I try to pray, all I got is hurt and these four words. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Feel
There. We just thank you for those blessings and songs of faith and testimony. Our hearts have truly been moved and encouraged. Thank you. Which takes us to time to talk to God, the only one who can meet all our needs. Come to the altar with all your cares and concerns, because there is power in prayer. Following this selection, the next voice you will hear is our very own man of God, Deacon Sir Charles Tate, offering prayer and petitioning God on our behalf. Meet us at the ark and prepare to receive Deacon Charles Tate. Pray to the Lord. Amen.
Oh, yeah, carrying all of the world on my shoulders. Moves on, stuff breaks down, people fall off. Gotta find a way to get over. Gotta find a way to get through, break through, hear you. Troubles they last, and as time passed, it's been one thing after the other. Way to go, I feel so alone. Life is so, so cold. I'm not very eloquent in speech. I don't always know how to sound holy when I speak. Papa told me something happened when I pray.
I'm gonna get through it. Amen, amen. Amen, amen. I know you listen when I pray. Okay, right now if you hear my voice, you know we're in the presence of the true and living God. And I want you to understand that you're in the presence of the true and living God. There is no other God but him. It's not another God around anywhere that can say they're alive. Matter of fact, they don't even talk. But like their songs just said, I know you listen when I pray. And we notice the God that we serve, and I hope he's your Lord and Master too. Because the God that we serve, if you pray to him, he said, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray, then I will hear from heaven and forgive your sin and heal your land. And I hope you, his people, like I said a few minutes ago. But what you also have to understand is that it's got to be the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that scapegoat that went to the cross to carry all our sins, past, present, and future, on him. And he's overcome all of them. So right now, let's go to the Lord. Right now, I don't know what it is that you're praying about. I only know what he's telling me to say right now. But whatever it is you're praying about, you have to leave it with Jesus. You have to leave it with the scapegoat, knowing and trusting that he's going to do something about it. Lord God, our Father, first and most of all, Father, we thank you. We thank you that you thought of us a long time ago when you rested in Genesis and gave us an opportunity to come before you right now to lift up your holy name, to sing praises to you, to bring our cares to you. You tell us to cast, you said, to cast all our cares upon you before you come for us. You tell us to humble ourselves before you. You tell us to pray. You tell us to pray continually. And you tell us in all things to give thanks. In all things to give thanks. Because this is your will in God for us. And that's you. And Father, we thank you. We thank you for being the God that you've been from beginning to now. And you'll continue to be the God that you've been until the end. There is no other God but you. All the other gods, Lord, you know, I like to call them little G gods. Those are the gods that we made up, like in Isaiah chapter 44 when it tells that the man went out and cut down the tree. And he built himself a house, and he built himself a fence, and he took all the wood from that and built this and built that and made this and made that. He threw some of it in the fire, Lord, to keep himself warm. He used some of that same fire to cook for himself. But then this same man carved out a little piece of wood and bowed down to it. And Father, that's what we're guilty of sometimes, taking things that you have given us and making them gods. But those little G gods, it's only one God. You tell us in Isaiah chapter 1 who you are and what you are. You tell us in Isaiah chapter 45, there is no God but you. And Father, even though we do things sometimes that make you angry, just like the children of Israel did when they was walking around for the 40 years in the desert. Yep, they had to walk around for 40 years, and only two people got to go to the promised land. But you kept them for 40 years. Well, we have to understand, Father, sometimes we do things to cause us to just walk around, to wander, to not get to that place that you want us to be. But right now, Father, we're giving all that to you. We're asking your forgiveness. Is there anything that's going on right now between us and you, Father, we ask you to remove it and forgive us for any sin that we might have presented to you. You see, Father, what we don't understand and what we fail to understand is that you don't look on sin, but you care for us. And being a father, when we do things, just like when we're children and with our earthly parents, when we do things and somebody hear about them in the street, they get back to our parents. And everything that we do, Father, gets back to you. It's not a thing that goes on in this world, nothing at all that you don't know about. So, Father, right now, we just ask your forgiveness. Like you said, we're humbling ourselves before you, Father. Because, see, it's not that they go by that we don't sin. But because of Jesus, you haven't taken us out. You said that you would prepare place for us and that one day we would be with you. But you also tell us, yea, though we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, not to fear anything because you're with us. And Father, you also tell us that you supply everything that we need. So right now, Father, what it is, we bring to you those things that kept us in, that kept us up last night, that kept us up last week. It's just a few minutes ago had us tripping. That's why we're here right now to you, Father. And, tripping, I know it might not be the word that we're supposed to use, but, Father, you know how me and you talk. Because, you see, Father, there is nothing. There is nothing at all, like I said earlier, that you don't know. But what the reality of it is, you want us to bring everything to you. You see, Father, you know everything anyway. And right now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity because, you see, Jesus is sitting right next to you right now. And like I said earlier, he took every sin that we've committed, past, present, and future. Even the things we're doing right now, we've been forgiven. We've been taken to into another court. And the morning came to you and said, they're guilty. But everything he brings to you that's about us, your children, you say not guilty. Because Jesus took care of it all. What we have to do, what we have to learn to do, is get into the word that you've given us. And while we're going through, you see, Father, Paul and Silas and Paul and Barnabas and all through your word, we read about how ones that have went to jail for you, that have been locked up in stocks and chains and beaten for you. And at the same time, Father, no matter what was going on, they still sang praises to you. They still came to you and said, Lord, thank you. Because, see, Father, when this is all said and done, when it's all over, one day it's going to be over here. We're going to get to be in that place that you are right now. We're going to one day look upon your face. And we long for that day, Father, that we come to home with you like in, I think it's 1 Thessalonians 5 tells us how you got a place you're going to bring us to one day, Father, no matter what goes on in this life. But you tell us, too, that we're going to have stuff that's going to happen while we're here. But you tell us also to be of good cheer. In John chapter, in the book of John, you told us, be of good cheer because you've overcome it, oh, Father. And we thank you for that. Yesterday is gone, Father. Today is already taken care of. Because you tell us if we seek you first in your kingdom, everything else is taken care of. And we just have to learn to walk in that royalty that we've been presented in. Yep, we're a royal priesthood. You're your children. We are your children and you're God. You're the king and we're your kids. So, Father, let it be that we learn no matter what to walk in that. Servant David went almost 20 years. You anointed him king, then he had to make almost 20 years before he finally got to be king. But while he was going toward that thing, he told you everything that was going on in the book of Psalms. He asked you to take care of him, and you did. And then no matter what went on at the end of it all, he still praised you. But Father, we ask your forgiveness. You know we're not perfect, and you know we mess up. So right now, whatever it is going on in our lives, those things that we think we've hidden from you, forgive us. But you also tell us you're faithful and just. You tell us in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. But you also tell us, Father, you're going to give us exactly what I need. And see, that's the important thing that we have to come to understand, Father, because you are our shepherd, and you do give us everything you need. You are my shepherd, and you do supply each and every one of my needs. And you never failed me yet, Father, and you won't fail anybody because you can do anything but lie, and you don't fail. So, Father, we thank you for that. Like I said, Father, I have no idea as to what's coming to you right now. All I know is what I've been going through, and we all go through something. But Father, sometimes, like old folks used to say, the only way to get to where you're going is go through. So Father, we continue once again to come to you, and we thank you for as we walk through this valley right now, as we go through these lives that you live, that you're going with us every step of the way. And the great part about it, Father, you've already gone before us. You know how this play out. But, Father, what we need to do is make sure we do things according to the way that you say, so we won't have to take a detour here and a detour there and end up coming back. So we won't have to go the long way around. That we just stay on that straight and narrow path that you've laid out for us. Nope, it's not easy. It's a lot of distractions in this world. But you knew we was going to have distractions. You knew that things was going to come at us. So all we have to do is focus on you, Father. And how do we focus on you? By getting into your word. You've already gave us a plan to get where we're supposed to go and how we're supposed to get there. So, Father, help us that we go to that plan that you written down for us years ago. Those folks that writing that Bible had no idea that it would be a Bible today. But we do, Father. We have a guide. We have the guide that will take us from where we're supposed to go to where we're supposed to be. And all we have to do is follow it. Yep, stuff's going to happen as we're going. But while we're going, we go with you. And let us be just like that child is walking down the street with their father or mother and got their hand in the hand. The mother and father is focused on where we got to go, and the child is just singing and smiling because they just glad to be with mama or daddy. And we need to learn how to just be glad with daddy. Because daddy going to get us where we got to go no matter what's going on and what's going on right now. Father, bless those that have, comfort those that have lost loved ones, Father. Be with those that might seem a little discouraged right now. But Father, just keep on doing what you've been doing. Because everything you do is right. And according to your will, it's good, pleasing, and perfect. So we thank you, Father, right now. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
There you are, reminded. You are here. Thank you. Thank you, Deacon Sir Charles Tate, for praying and making our request known to God. We appreciate you. Just have a wonderful day. Amen. Okay. So far, we are having a great time this morning. With more to come, I just want to say thank you for allowing me to be your presiding person. And as always, if you have been blessed by this Saturday worship experience, then be a blessing to others and let them know that this Saturday worship service is happening. Share the love, joy, and the blessings. Amen? Okay, time for the preach word. A message from God. The best part, icing on the cake, after this selection, the next voice we will have the pleasure of hearing is our very own shepherd and pastor, Awesome O, Gerald Marshall Overall. That is Gerald Marshall Overall. Let's prepare to receive Pastor Gerald Marshall Overall, Pastor O, come in his own way with a word from the Lord. Amen.
I need your blessings. Pour it out. 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 I need your blessings. I need your essence. I need your presence. Give me the lessons. So I can keep making these moves and eliminate all of these questions. As these problems keep pressing, I'm in your presence, so I am not stressing. Yeah, you lead, I follow your way, so you know, Lord, that I am not guessing.
I am not guessing.
You be my teacher, I study your word and pass out my tests. And if I get stuck on a question, I know it's an open book quiz. Will you forgive me for all of the things that I did? I know your presence is all in the place. I'm steady sticking your face. Do what you wanna do, say what you wanna say. Thank you for mercy and grace. You live in me and keep giving me energy. Help me to finish this race. And Lord, if we moving too slow, please let me know and we will pick up the pace. Cause I need your blessings. I need your blessings. Pour it out. I need your blessings. Pour it out. I need your blessings. Pour it out. I need your blessings. Your spirit, you know how I get when I feel it. You know how I get when I'm with you. I be feeling like there's something I can't do. So Holy One, come feel this atmosphere. You welcome, draw me near. I wanna come closer to you, to you. The closer I'm near you, closer, the louder I hear you. I say what you say like a puppet. But watch your breath in with buckets. I need your presence, I need to get it. Tell me you with it. Keep it coming and coming, no limitations. Cocaine and vodka are imitations. You want the presence.
You want the presence.
You want his essence.
You want his essence.
You want that feeling, but you can only get it off in the spirit. You can't pop it, smoke it, or shoot it off in your vein.
Off in your vein.
There's only one way to get it. You gotta call on the name. Jesus, I need you, I need you.
I need your blessings.
Pour it out. I need your blessings. Pour it out. I need your blessings. Pour it out. I need your blessings. Pour it out. I need your blessings. I need your spirit to. Yeah. I need your blessings. I need your spirit to. Yeah. I need your blessings. I need your spirit to. Yeah. I need your blessings. I need your spirit to.
Y'all say, Pastor, you listen to some, yeah. Hey, man, I was, I call it worship size because I listen to worship music when I exercise, that and jazz, okay? And that's the song that played Monday, and Jesus said, I want you to play that just before you preach. Amen. Amen. I love Christian hip-hop and rap because they tend to talk about living the life, and they're a little different than inspirational and gospel singers. They tend to, gospel singers, they just talk about Jesus. They're like evangelists, right? And then your inspirational singers, they're going to help you get through when you're going through tough times, so you need some inspiration, right? But I like those, I don't know what you call Christian rappers or rappers who Christian, they both go both ways like that, right? But it's something about them that speaks to me, because they speak to the real issues in life and living a Christian life. They tend not to just, I don't know how to say this, but always begging God for something. They make these tunes that get you closer to God, that put some responsibility on you about living for God, not about your money, cars, clothes, and houses and all that stuff. At Running for Christ Ministries, we call that practicing Christianity in the retarded Christianity. That's backwards. You know, you see God and his kingdom and his righteousness, and he just gives you stuff. Amen. So, amen. Those songs come from all these songs really come from when I'm downstairs in the basement in my worship place, like a cave. But, amen, trust me, it's like a cave, not a man cave, a cave. But anyway, that's where Jesus liked to meet with me at. And so that's where we meet at. Amen. Amen. And that's where these songs come from, doing worship. I worship, like I call it, worship size. I exercise a hard exercise 3 times a week, where it's cardio and muscular. Amen. That's what I call it. Amen. And those songs help me to get right through that half hour like it's nothing, because I'd be so into the song and not worry so much about my arms finna fall off and my legs feel like they just want to run away somewhere. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. Thank you, Father, for being kind to us. And you woke us up on this side of life, so we know that we still have to tell people about Jesus. We still got to help somebody live for Jesus. We still have to help folks in or outside the body of Christ so we can show them how loving and how caring you are. Everybody in this world think you're mean, nasty, and foul and just want to punish people because you're God. But they don't know that's the devil. He is the one who steals, kills, destroys. He's the one who goes about like a roving lion looking for somebody to tear up. Okay, that's not you, Father. If we read Genesis, we see you in the beginning. You created a whole universe and this earth and gave it to Adam. Okay, he couldn't earn it. He couldn't go to church enough for it. He couldn't pray enough for it. He didn't preach enough for it. He didn't do anything. You made him and gave it to him. And you'll do the same thing to us. You did that so that Adam would not be bothered with all this stuff, but he could focus on you. And Lord, when he became bothered about the stuff, we fail. If he had just stayed focused on you and communing with you in the cool of the day when you used to meet with him in the garden, if he had just stayed with that, you had already given him everything. But here come the devil making him believe there's something you held back from him. And here we are. So, Lord, help us to not be like that, but to seek your kingdom and your righteousness. And you gave us this opportunity to do that. In Jesus' name, help us to get this, because we definitely need to be close to you. Help us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Repeat after me. Say, Lord Jesus, bless my ears so they hear your word today. And bless my heart so it receives your word today. Because I acknowledge to you, as you have said, my ways and thoughts are not like yours. But I'm here today to be transformed, to be made new, so I can always know what your good, pleasing, and perfect will for my life is. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Today I want to talk to you right out of the 4th chapter of the book of James, New Living Translation, and it's simply entitled, Drawing Close to God. That's my subject for today, drawing close to God. Amen. Let's read some word. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You're jealous of what others have, but you can't get it. So you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously, as the scriptures say. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Amen. 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 Did you hear the word of the Lord? Then I pray that the Lord bless this word into your heart and so it can be lived out in your everyday life. It becomes a reality for you. That's James chapter 4, verses 1 through 8. Amen. James chapter 4, verses 1 through 8, and I read it to you from the New Living Translation. Amen. Everything that the Lord has done from Genesis to now is to bring us close to him. Everything that has happened from Genesis to this very day is designed to bring us close to him. God wants us close to him. God wants to be so close to us like he lives in us. And he does in the person of the Holy Spirit. When we accepted Christ as our Savior, God gave us the promise that he promised us. And that was that he would write his word on our hearts, right? And the only way that could be accomplished is that he take up residence inside of us. That's how bad God wants to be close to us. But that's just the beginning. We would not have these books called epistles, amen, letters. We wouldn't have these if just accepting Christ as your Lord and Savior was enough. And that's what a lot of Christians do. And far too many Christians are nowhere near God. How do you know that, Pastor? Oh, Jesus said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Jesus said that a bad tree can't bear good fruit and a good tree can't bear bad fruit. He said, be a fruit inspector. And so, amen. If we're a fruit inspector, and if we just listen to what people say, what is a fruit? Fruit is, when you look at a fruit tree, it's not really talking, right? But it produces fruit. Without saying a word, it produces fruit. It's like, okay, without saying a word, 1 Thessalonians 4:11 and 12 says, seek to lead, make it your ambition to lead a quiet life. Mind your own business. Work with your own hands. Now watch this. In all of that, not one word was said. Not one word. But watch what happened. You will get the respect of those who are on the outside of Christ. And you, listen, brothers and sisters, get this. You won't be dependent on anybody but Jesus. Amen? So the Lord says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right? We just talked about the fruit. The fruit is people see your quiet life, you mind your own business, you work with your own hands, you get their respect, right? Now, if you want to see, get to tell people by listening to them, all I have to do to tell what you're all about is just let you talk. All I have to do is be quick to listen and slow to speak. That's what I have to do. And when I, and see, we can. This is what we cannot avoid. We cannot avoid who we are. We can try to be fake. We can try to be phony. But sooner or later, we're going to come out. The real us is going to come out. Why? Because the Lord said, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Over in John, Matthew, I believe it's chapter 12, the Pharisees came up to Jesus and asked him, why do your disciples eat without washing their hands? Now, they were talking about a tradition that came from their fathers, their spiritual teachers. Okay? But Jesus told them that it's not that which goes into the mouth. And we really need to get that, get a hold of that. It's not alcohol. It's not weed. It's not cocaine. It's not heroin. Okay, or heroin. We used to call it heroin back in the day. That's not what defiles us. And, you know, it can mess us up. That's for sure. But it's not what defiles us. Jesus said what defiles us is that foul stuff that comes up out of our mouths. Lies, cursings, bitterness, okay? Adulteries, fornications, right? Thefts, murders. These are the things that defile us. And guess what Jesus taught us? They come from the inside. Listen to what James says. What's causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires within you? Yes, we have evil desires within us. And yes, it causes quarrels and fights among us. So if you really want to know how close somebody is to God, just let them talk. Just let them walk. Watch that walk. Watch that talk. And you'll come to the conclusion that my wife's grandmother came to own me. She watched me. She noticed I wasn't living no quiet life. I wasn't minding my own business. And at that time, I wasn't even working with my own hands. And you know what she told me? And my mouth wasn't all that good either. You know what she told me? She said, Reverend Overall, you talk right, but you walk left. You see how that thing works? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Amen? And so what was coming out of me is what was keeping me apart from God, and that's every single one of us. Don't start thinking about somebody you know that could be closer to God if they just would. This ain't about them. This is about you. What causes quarrels and fights among you? Not somebody else. Don't they come from the evil desires that war within you? Not somebody else. You want what you don't have. Not somebody else, so you scheme and kill to get it. Not somebody else. All this nonsense in our world today. Just yesterday, I'm watching television. This girl was standing in an empty driveway, so I turned the television up. I know you're like, you watch television with no sound? I was watching television. This girl say somebody came and stole the car right out her driveway. And she just could not understand how somebody else could just come and take what you worked hard to get. Why? Because they couldn't get it for themselves. And they may have been a little bit jealous of what others had, and they couldn't get it. So what did they do? They came up with a way to get it from you. Some folks are even more desperate than that. You're sitting at the corner, and the man pulls up on you all of a sudden talking about check it in, give it up, and he got a gun in his hand. Now you got to get out of your car and hope he ain't crazy enough to shoot you even though you gave him the car. I'm watching television yesterday. I do that a lot. There was a man who was a locksmith, and he went to work. He got a call to come and do some locks, and the girl said, well, oh, the car is in the backyard. I need you to go make a key for it. But he could see when he stepped to the backyard, there was a man with a face mask on and two guns in his hand. And guess what? He gave them everything, even his locksmithing tools, and they shot him anyway. There was a lady who went to McDonald's and got some cold fries. And she got so angry about that that she ended up calling her 20-year-old son who came down to the McDonald's and shot the clerk in the neck. See, y'all, this stuff is serious. This stuff is real serious. And I ain't just talking about the world because James was writing to the church. Church folks doing crazy things. And all of this stuff is what lies within us. And we want stuff so bad we'll do anything to get it. A woman will want a husband so bad she'll take somebody else's husband. A man will want another woman so bad he'll take somebody else's wife. because we want what we want. And Lord help us, when we want what we justify everything. Wisdom is always justified of her children. That's from the King James Version. But what that means is somehow we fix it in our heads that everything we do is all right. Or we'll just throw this on it. God knows. He understands. No, he don't. See, the Lord wants to make a divine exchange of all of that crap that's in us. Amen. And we need to acknowledge that that crap is in us. Look, the only reason you saved is because Jesus accepted you when you accepted him as Lord and Savior. It's the only reason you're saved. The only reason you go into heaven is because of Jesus. But then all of that stuff that's in us, all these evil desires because we want stuff, all this warring, all this scheming to get stuff, all this being jealous of others who have stuff and we want what they have, and so we come up with ways to get it from them. Don't you know that the Lord knows all that stuff is in us? And guess what? You don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And there's a reason you don't ask God for it. Why? And even when you ask, you don't get it. Why? Because I know you're saying, I do pray to God about this. I do pray to God about that. But is it about his will being done on earth as it is in heaven? Or is it about you looking good to the people you're trying to impress? Don't you know that it is idolatry to believe God for things just to make somebody else think well of you? Or for you to feel better? How you going to feel you get that brand new car and you come out to the driveway and it's gone? Like that young lady. My son, who had this awesome Suburban, I mean, it was beautiful, and he keeps his stuff up very well. Drove it somewhere, somebody stole it. I don't know if he got it back. I'm praying for God for him to get it back because it was awesome, okay? But I don't know if he got it back yet. Somebody else saw it. They were jealous that he had it. And so they came up with a way, a scheme, to take it away. See, we don't ask God for the stuff we want because we know what we want is illegal. We don't want it the right way. That's what I mean. It might not be illegal against the law, but we don't want to do it God's way. The Lord wanted me to work, and I tried to sell drugs. Why? Because I wanted what I wanted, but I ain't want to do it God's way. And yes, I was a preacher when I did it. I would love to sit here and tell you that was before I got saved. No, it wasn't. When I got saved and things got tight, and it looked like Jesus wasn't treating a brother right in them finances. And so I came up with an idea, a scheme on how to get some money because I had these desires that were at war within me. And the desire said, you used to sell dope. I said, you know, desire, you right. And desire said, now, look, you don't have to start selling dope all over again for a living, but you can go get about 5 pounds of cocaine, 2 kilos, and go out and cook that stuff up and sell it as crack rocks, get paid, and you'll be all right, and then you can quit. It did not work. It was horrible. It was the worst, I don't know how many years of my life. What worked for me when I wasn't saved did not work when I got saved. Jesus told me up all kinds of ways. I didn't think it was going in. And every time something happened, I knew it was because of what I did. See, I couldn't ask God for nothing. Why? Because God wasn't going to say, yes, Pastor O, go get 5 pounds of cocaine, cook it up in the crack rocks, and sell it. And then after you do, you quit, and I'll forgive you. I didn't, and guess what? I didn't want the money for the church. I didn't want the money to help people to eat. I didn't want the money to help people have Bibles or things like that. I wanted the money so I could buy the stuff I wanted, and that was a race car. Well, watch this. After correction happened, after Jesus got through correcting me, and I started doing things God's way, I went and got the car I want at the price I want it. And I've been doing stuff like that ever since. Everything I want, I go to God and ask him for it. If he say yes, it's yes. If he say no, it's no. If he say wait, it's wait. Enough of that running off from God to get the stuff God made like Adam and Eve did. We think we are not Adam and Eve. Oh, yes, we are. We will run off from God. If we want sex and we ain't married, we'll run off from God to get it. Yeah. See, that kind of stuff brings it home, right? It makes it relevant. We love to talk about what the folks did in the Old Testament, but we don't do that. We're living in a different time and in a different day. But we're pretty much as bad as they were. We read the Old Testament and wonder how the children of Israel could be so crazy up under an awesome God. Well, we're the same people. And James is writing to a New Testament church, not an Old Testament church, a New Testament church. People have accepted Christ as a Savior. And James is saying, look, if you want to get from God what you want from God, then you're going to have to check your motives. Why do you want what you want? Why do you want that car? Does the Lord have anything to do with the reason why you want that car? Why you want that house? What is it about us that makes us kick God to the curb when he won't give us what we want? You know what the Lord says? He says, you adulterers. And he ain't talking about a man cheating on his wife or a wife cheating on her husband with somebody else that's married. You know what he's talking about? He's talking about us cheating on him. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? Come on, y'all, let's run. Because we ain't got much time. We need to run over here to 1 John. Don't trip on your way, though. We're going to 1 John in chapter 2. And you know what verses I'm getting ready to read, but I'm going to read them anyway. I'm going to read verses 15 through 17 in John chapter 2 from the New Living Translation. Listen to what it say. Do not love this world. Uh-oh, we're in trouble already. Because we love the world. We feel like our life ain't even right. If we can't go nowhere, if we can't do nothing, if we ain't got no money in the bank and shorty over here talking about what you got on my drink, we feel all kind of funny. We're already in trouble. I done read four words from this verse, five words, and we already in trouble. I ain't even finished the first stanza. Do not love this world, and we in love with this world. Think about how many hours a day you work to get stuff in this world. Lord have mercy. Think of the things you will do to get stuff in this world. Do not love the world nor the things it offers you. Oh, watch this. Do not love the devil and the things he offering you. Remember, Adam and Eve had the whole universe because God gave it to them. All they had to do was keep and dress that little garden. God gave them a place to live, a job to do, and a word to follow. Don't eat from that tree. But the devil came along and made them believe that God is holding back something from you. You're not getting everything that you could have. Yeah, I know you got the whole universe, and I know you're living large with the Lord. But guess what? You don't have the knowledge of good and evil. And God knows that if you get the knowledge of good and evil, you won't need him. You'll be like him. You can decide for yourself what's good and what's bad, what's up, what's down, what's in, what's out. Nobody tells God what to do, and nobody be able to tell you what to do. I'm just saying. And so Adam and Eve started to look at that tree a little different. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, pride in our achievements and possessions, and that's all we talk about. That's all we want. The lust of the eyes, everything we see, the lust of the flesh, okay, the tree was good for food, and the pride of life, this going to make our life better. And when Adam and Eve believed that their life was going to be better, even though God had given, don't forget this, God gave them the whole world. The whole universe was theirs. And nobody could take it from them. But here Satan come and convinced them God's holding out on them. He's not even making sense. Why would he give you the whole world and tell you you can't have this tree? He didn't tell them they couldn't have the tree of life, but they didn't want that. They never went near that. They only thought about that after they got crapped out and felt like they were getting ready to die, that something was going on inside them too that they had never felt before. And so now they're looking at the tree of life and they want to take that too. But if they had taken that, then they would have been eternally messed up. So God blocked them from the tree of life. Be careful what you see. Okay? Be careful what you develop a hunger for. And be careful when Satan comes to you talking about, this is going to make your life so much better. Do you know how many people went off to rob a bank to make their life better? I've been watching YouTube, and I be watching these police chases, and these people thought that if they just let the cop get out the car, they stomp the gas and take off, somehow they're going to get their life is getting ready to get better. It haven't worked yet. Listen, here's the nut right here. And this world is fading away. Wow. You craving stuff that's fading away. You like cotton candy. It's real big when you get it. Okay? And you can take a big old clump of it and put it in your mouth. And how much is actually in there? Because once it melts down, it melts down to almost nothing. The devil got you chasing things that don't last forever. The devil got you giving up your whole life for stuff that don't last forever. The devil got you chasing till your soles or your shoes almost gone. And it don't last forever. And this world is fading away along with everything that people crave, but anyone who does what pleases God will live forever. Are you trying to live forever? Or are you trying to live for right now? Come on, y'all. We need some more. As my friend, Reverend Brian Gilbert, used to say when he preached, can I call on some more witnesses? Come on with me to Luke chapter 16. Oh, I'm preaching. You think you're in a Bible class, but I'm preaching. I'm in Luke chapter 16. Now, remember, we're talking about being adulterers. We're talking about loving God's stuff way more than we love God. We'll go and work 8 hours a day, 7 days a week, 10 hours a day, 7 days a week to get stuff. But then when it comes to going to church for an hour and a half, we can't do that because it's my only time to rest. When it comes to going to Bible class for 1 to 2 hours, you can't do that because I'm tired. Or when it comes to doing some home Bible study, I don't like reading the Bible at home because every time I do, I fall asleep. All of that just tells you your relationship with God is severely strained. The world got you jumping through hoops, but you won't even put on your clothes for God. Listen to what the Lord say over here in Luke chapter 16, verse 9. Please hear this. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. How much of your money each year is spent on benefiting others? And how much of it is spent on benefiting you? Which one of us can say that we are intentional about having money enough? Like Peter said, if you've been stealing, stop stealing. Get yourself an honest job. Work with your own hands. Listen to why he say that. So you can always have something to give to those in need. Are you doing that? See, the Lord says use what he gives you, the resources he gives you, the wealth that he gives you to benefit others and make friends. Then when your possessions are gone, that means you died. That means you absent from the body and present with the Lord. Guess what? When you get to heaven, you ain't going to just get there. You're going to get there to what's called a triumph. They will welcome you into an eternal home. Now, that's the short version. Now the Lord is going to give us a warning. He says, now watch this, though. If you're faithful in little things, listen. Now, somebody going to get mad. I'm praying for you. But somebody going to get mad. If you're not contributing nothing to the church you belong to, then you're not even faithful in the little things. That little bit that God give you, you won't give him a dime. But you're praying to him for stuff all the time. Funny how this stuff be rhyming. Amen. If you're faithful in little things, you'll be faithful in large ones. See, God can't trust you with a lot because he can't trust you with a little. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with greater responsibilities. If you are trustworthy about worldly wealth, if you are untrustworthy about worldly wealth, that means God can't trust you with what he gives you. You're untrustworthy with the worldly wealth that God has given you. He can't trust you with your money because you don't give him none. You give it all to the world. You're not in debt because you gave too much money to the church. Stop telling that lie. People running around here talking about, I ain't got nothing because I gave it all to the church. No, you didn't. God knows you ain't in debt because you gave it to the church. You're in debt because you've been chasing this world. And if you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches in of heaven? In other words, God, this stuff you have right now, you ain't taking none of it out of here. God gave it to you to use while you're here. But we're such adulterers, all we do is cheat on the Lord with the money he give us. I was watching YouTube one time, and this guy bought his wife a new car and a nice house. And guess what she did with the car? Picked up her boyfriend, brought him to the new house, and had sex with him, and got caught in that. How untrustworthy is that? And if you're not faithful with other people's things and everything you got is the Lord's, why should you be trusted with things of your own? What are things of my own? I had to ask Jesus that. He said, those are the things, that's the treasure you lay up for yourself in heaven. You get to keep that forever. Everything you got here, rust, moth, and thieves will take away. But what you get, the treasure you earn while serving the Lord here, those are things that you get to keep forever. Over in 2 Corinthians 5 and 10, it says that we shall all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Amen? All of us going to appear before the judgment seat of Christ, not whether we're going to heaven or not. That's been settled when we accepted him as Savior. But it says right there in that passage to receive for the deeds done. So Jesus is looking at every penny he gives you, everything he gives you, and he's watching how you use it. Some of us want another car, but we don't take care of the car Jesus gave us already. We don't care. It's filthy and nasty. You get into it, look like a homeless person live in it. Our house is the same way, but yet we pray to the Lord for more stuff. Why should Jesus give you another couch and you don't take care of the couch he already gave you? Why should Jesus give you some more new floors or new carpet and you don't take care, you don't even vacuum the carpet he gave you? You don't even mop the floors he gave you. You don't clean up the bathroom he gave you. You don't wash the dishes he gave you to eat out of. Yeah, this is some good stuff right here. See, this is what it's like hanging out with Jesus, and I hang out with him every day, and I'd be like, Jesus. He'd be like, what? I'm like, do you know you are very, very honest? He's like, well, what? Amen? Here's the whole thing. And this takes us back to what we read in James. No one can serve two masters. For you will hate the one and love the other. You'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Jesus said that same thing over in Matthew chapter 6. You cannot, amen, love God, serve God, and at the same time, you're on the paper chase, chasing hundreds like them dollars got feet. You cannot do that. See, Jesus said over in Deuteronomy 28, now somebody's going to say that's Old Testament, but God don't change. Ooh. Amen. He said, if you fully obey and carefully follow all these regulations and things I'm giving you today, guess what? Blessings will run you down and overtake you. Why? Because you're fully obeying and carefully following what the Lord said. You're seeking his kingdom and his righteousness, and he's adding stuff to you. See, Abraham loved God, but the Bible says God made Abraham rich. But Abraham loved God. And the Bible say God made Abraham. Somebody just got it. Somebody's eyes just came all the way open. The light is all the way to 100. He loved God. God made him rich. So you can't serve two masters, for you will hate the one and love the other, or you'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and be enslaved to money. Now, the Pharisees were people who dearly loved their money, heard all this and scoffed at him. Then he said to them, you like to appear righteous in public. Oh, Jesus. No, we don't. You like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. Lord, have mercy on us. Amen? Now, as we find our way back to James chapter 4, amen. Now, let me read this again. Where all the other scriptures added, let me read this again before we move on. You adulterers, God say we cheating on him. Ain't that something? We, like the one I told you about, the girl who took the new house and the new car to go get her boyfriend and got caught in the bed with him in the new house after she drove him there in the new car, and they had a Ring doorbell. So my man saw the Ring doorbell went off, and he's watching all this on his phone. So he goes home, and it was on. He didn't fight with her. He didn't put his hands on her. He asked homie to get up and get out. And then he asked her to grab her stuff and get out. Do you know how bad you feel when somebody takes what you gave them and use it against you? So that's why the Lord says, you adulterers, I've given you everything that you have. I gave you my son. And you are around here trying to be friends with the world. You're so friends with the world that you never go to Bible class. Jesus told me to say that. And I don't hear him saying, you lied. No, he told me to say that. You adulterers, you love something else so much you can't even get to church on time. You're so in love with whatever it is that's keeping you from being in church on time, from being in Bible class, from doing home study, from helping people. These things matter to God. They don't matter to us. All that matters to us is God, give me, give me, give me. It's like Joyce Meyer say, we turn into a robot and just get stuck on crazy, and we just go back and forth. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? Well, what about you? God gave you his only begotten son so that you could live with him forever and live for him in this temporary. I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. You make yourself, God ain't making himself an enemy of you. You make yourself an enemy of God. Why? Because you love his stuff more than you love him. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace graciously. As the scriptures say, we need grace to live for God. See, grace is not just God's unmerited favor. It is also the power to live for God in an unchristian world. As the scriptures say, God opposes the proud. So you want God to oppose you? You know who the proud are? People who don't live according to God's word, but they're saved. Adam and Eve got opposed in the garden. Why? Because they were no longer humble. But God gives grace to the humble. They wasn't humble. They got kicked out the garden. Thank God he made it up with them. Because they didn't try to make it up with him. They ran and hid and told lies. Fig leaves, hiding behind trees, throwing each other under the bus. The woman you made, Lord, I ate, but the woman you made. I ain't even asked for it, but you made her and brought her to me, and you married us. And now look, it's your fault, Jesus. And then the woman said, the snake you made him smarter than any other thing in the world, so he tricked me, and I ate. See, Jesus, it's your fault. Lord, have mercy. Now listen, here's the key as we come to a close. The Lord says the number one thing that you have to do, that we have to do, the number one thing that we have to do is in verse 7, two words, three words. So humble yourselves. Humble yourselves before God. Okay, we're going to go ahead and make it five words. So humble yourselves before God. Five words. Do that, and the rest don't even matter. But if you do not humble yourself before God, if you do not humble yourself under God, you can forget about him lifting you up. He's going to oppose you. Now look, you saved, you ain't going to hell, but you ain't living under God. You're not humble under God. So God's going to oppose you to show you that you're not humble. To humble yourself unto God means to do what God says. And some of us are so not humble, we won't even read what God said. Most of us have a hearsay gospel. It's what we heard somebody say. But we ourselves, we run around here like the seven sons of Sceva over in Acts chapter 19. They heard Paul preach Jesus and saw Paul say, in the name of Jesus, I cast you out. Okay? And so they took it upon themselves to add to their already their little cantations, and they went around and found somebody who was possessed with a demon. And they couldn't wait. They said, in the name of Jesus, and the demons got scared, because when they hear Jesus' name, they're like, oh, no, they did not call on Jesus. But then when they said, in the name of Jesus, who Pastor O preached, they said, Paul preached. I'm just trying to make it contemporary with you, right? That Pastor O preached, the Pastor O told me about, in the name of the Jesus that Pastor O called on. You remember when Saul got into trouble? He cracked me up. When Samuel finally got with Saul, he cracked me up. I couldn't, Jesus, you know, he just loved to keep on walking past stuff. You know, we walking through the Old Testament, and he's showing me stuff. And Saul was told to wait 7 days on Samuel, and he didn't. He screwed it up big time. On the seventh day, Samuel hadn't showed up, and Saul's people was trying to run off and hide somewhere, and so he got disturbed about that. And so he took it upon himself to become a priest and to offer up a sacrifice. And don't you know, as soon as he lit the fire, Samuel showed up. And Samuel said, what are you doing? He said, well, you know, my people were sneaking off, and the Philistines over there, they just piling up, and I felt compelled to do something. See, he didn't humble himself under God. Amen? He didn't humble himself under God. So just listen to what Paul said. And this is the horrible thing about having a hearsay gospel. Okay, first off, Jesus know you ain't got nothing but a hearsay gospel, and you need to stop being fake and be for real in front of him. You can be fake in front of people, but if you're for real in front of him, you'll cut that off too. Okay. You know, after Samuel pronounced the judgment that he was going to lose the kingdom and God going to give it to somebody else who will do his will, Saul said, Samuel, pray to your God that doesn't happen to me. And Jesus just kept on walking as I read that, and I said, hold up, Jesus. What does he mean, your God? Isn't God his God? He said, well, he kind of got a relationship with God through Samuel. Is that you? Jesus knows that you just have a hearsay gospel. It's what you heard some preacher or Bible teacher say, but it's not nothing that you learned from Jesus in a one-on-one home Bible study. See, that's what the Lord do most of his teaching. You think you're getting your teaching from this preacher, that preacher, this teacher, that teacher. No, you're not. You're not getting anything. Look, this message that I'm preaching right now, the Lord spoke months to me on. But you're getting ready to get about 30 minutes of it or more, or a few minutes more. That's it. If you want what the Lord gave me, guess where I got it? I didn't get it in church. I got it in home Bible study. So humble yourselves before God. That's number one. Be willing to do what the Lord tells you to do. That's number one. Then resist the devil and he'll flee from you. The devil ain't going to flee from you no more than he fled from them crazy seven sons of Sceva. They talking about in the name Jesus Christ. They wasn't humbled under God. And then they're going to try to resist the devil. He didn't flee from them. God allowed that demon and that one man to beat the crap out of seven men so bad. Imagine what that was like when they came out that house. It had to be a whole lot of noise, because usually they only had, their houses were made of one room, and everything was in that one room, okay? Okay? And so imagine the people outside hearing what's going on in that house. And that demon was in that man, and boy, he tore all seven of them up. He beat the clothes off of them, and they ran out that house bloody and naked. But I bet you they learned something. I bet you they learned. You know what? Next time we try that, we better have a real relationship with Jesus, because we can't resist the devil if we're not under Jesus. People be talking about burning sage and waving crystals. Like the devil care about your sage and your crystals. He knows right away that you might belong to Christ because you gave your life to him and accepted him as your Savior, but you are not humbled under him. And guess what? You can't defend yourself against him unless you humble yourself under God. And humbling yourself under God means reading his word and doing it. Then he'll flee from you. Oh, it gets deeper. Come close to God. Oh, God not coming close to you. You come close to him, and God will come near to you. Did you get that? You come close to God by study. You come close to God by reading his word. You come close to God by doing what it says, and God will come close to you. Don't you want God to come close to you? Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. Wash your hands is what the priests did before they did anything with God. In other words, confess your sins before you read the Bible. Confess your sins before you witness for Christ. Confess your sins. That's what it means when it says, wash your hands, you sinners. Put away that crap. If you're shacking up, stop. If you're having more sex than married people, stop. That's what it means. If you're telling lies, stop. If you're going to your work and getting a check but ain't working, stop. Look, God looks at everything. If you read Colossians chapter 3:22 to the end, we're supposed to work like we work for Christ. Not run around doing whatever we want to do and get a check. Don't you know that is stolen money? Oh, you're talking to somebody who stole a whole lot of money until Jesus trapped me up and taught me all this, and now I'm teaching it to you. So if you think I'm talking about you, you're wrong. I'm talking about me, because I did it. I tried to steal every check I got without working. I even tried to get money for days I wasn't even there. I tried to draw unemployment when I wasn't unemployed. So I'm not, don't say, Pastor, oh, he's talking about me. I don't know you. I don't hang out with you. You're dreaming. But I know me, and I know what I've done, and I know what Jesus delivered me from. How do you think I learned this? Like my wife say, Pastor, it seems like you like to learn everything the hard way. That's how I learned it. So when you hear me talking about this stuff, please don't put it in your heads that I'm talking about you. I don't know you or your life. Do I? Do we hang together? How often am I over your house? How many days have we gone out to eat and talk? How many times have we gotten together and just cut it up? So how am I sitting here talking about you? No, I'm remembering what Jesus delivered me from, and I know he'll do the same for you. Amen? Purify your hearts means you only trust, lean, and rely on God. Stop telling God you trust, lean, and rely on him, and yet he see you in every other kind of way trying to get money, trying to get the things you need outside of him. Just trust God to give it to everything I have. God gave it to me, and I am thankful to him to be able to say that. Nobody else can lay claim. Look, my wife and I have been married for 35 years. There isn't a person on this earth who can tell you they ever helped us pay a bill. Her grandmother is in heaven. She helped us one time with $260. We gave it back to her before she left here. But ain't another person on this planet who can say, I gave to them. Other than the folks who give us through the church. But that is what God gives. They bring it to the church and God gives it to us for a living, because we work for him 24/7, 365. So he provides for us. So I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people we went to and said, can you help us out? We are in financial difficulties. Can you help us out? We haven't done that in 35 years. Why? because God has been faithful. He knows that our loyalty is not divided. We just trust him. Nothing else or nobody else in this world can claim they gave us anything. We came and asked for it, or they found us in need and we gave to them. They gave to us. No, we seek to lead a quiet life. We mind our own business. And you can come talk to my neighbors or anybody that we're around 24/7, 365. You can ask them about us. And I know what they're going to tell you because I know what they know. The Lord has provided for us, and he'll provide for you. So if you want to come close to God and you want God to come close to you, then you're going to have to humble yourself under him. And God, look, you're not the judge of humbled under him. Your friend who you're trying to impress ain't the one that's going to determine whether you're humbled. God will determine if you're humbled under him or not. He knows if you are humbled under him or not. And if you're not going to any Bible classes, ain't doing no home study, okay, you're not even doing church right. You can't even get up and go to church on time. You treat God like that, and you think you're close to him. You hate going to church, and you think you're close to him. You don't do the things he asks you to do. That's why Jesus said in Luke 6:46, why do you call me Lord, 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 and you don't do anything I say? He even helped him out, and I'm going to close with this. He said, I'll tell you who can call me Lord. These are the ones who dig down deep, and they continue digging, no matter how hard it is, until they find the rock. That means they found the word of God and understood it. Then they start building their house, their life, on top of that rock, that word of God. Okay? And then, guess what? Just because they're following the Lord, just because they've built their life on the Lord according to his word, does not mean the rain won't come, does not mean the winds won't blow. But what it means is when that happens, you'll still be standing. Why? Because you're not standing alone or apart from God, but you're standing on the word of God. And then Jesus said, then there are those who, Christians, who call me Lord, but I ain't their Lord. I'm their Savior, but not their Lord. He says, they don't dig down nowhere. They just start building their house on nothing, on sand. But when the wind comes, okay, when the storms come, when the waters rise, their house falls down. It falls apart. Why? He tells why. Because it was not founded on the rock. Now, here's the question on the floor today. What is your house built on? Amen? Think about it. What is your house, is your life, in all your ways, do you really acknowledge him and he directs your path in your personal, your family, your church, and your civic life? If you want to draw close to God, you just heard how to do it. Amen. God bless you. God keep you. Get close. Let us pray. Lord God, our Father, we give thanks today and we praise your holy name. We thank you, Father, for speaking to us and giving us this word. We know, Lord, if we've accepted Christ, we're in Christ, and then nothing can ever change that. We cannot be out of Christ or put out of Christ because, Jesus, you said in John 10, those that the Father have given you, you've lost none. And if anybody could pluck them out of your hand and they couldn't get them out of your Father's hand, so you'll never lose them. We know that. But that's not what we're talking about. Lord, help us to come close to you. Help us to humble ourselves under you and stop ignoring you and stop just being glad to be saved. But want what you, Father, you working on us to be who we're going to be forever. Help us to get into that. Help us to love you more than we love your stuff. Because if we don't, Lord, we're going to leave here. We ain't going to be close to you. And then we all get to heaven. We haven't done anything for you. We won't have no rewards. Except the reward of going to heaven. But other than that, nothing. Because we haven't done anything. We haven't led anybody to Christ. We haven't tried to teach anybody how to live for you. And we don't like helping people in or outside the body of Christ. We don't get involved in nothing. All we want to do is go to church, go to Bible class, read a few scriptures, and then don't live for you. But you said that we should pray that your will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. But, Father, how can that be done doing church the way we do church today? We got these ganky pastors, Lord, who just keep people chasing you. They teach them retarded Christianity all the time. They're telling them to chase you for healings, chase you for breakthroughs, chase you for financial blessings. But they don't teach to chase you for you. They don't teach chase you to live for you. They just teach chase you to live for your stuff. But, Father, you're doing a work today to change that around. And I pray that this message does just that. In Jesus' name, I pray and give thanks. Amen. Good morning, Crystal.
Oh, wow. Good morning.
Here we go again.
Lord, have mercy. Oh, Jesus. So now, you know, we get black coffee a lot, but today I think we just got the coffee grounds.
You're just straight up grounds. Straight up.
Oh, my God.
I knew this time it was going to be grounds, because when the Lord won't speak to me about what I'm speaking about, he just say, you know it, and just listen to me and say what I say.
Lord have mercy.
You know,
Jesus.
It gets tight.
Jesus.
Wow. You know, Crystal, when I'm preaching and I hear the stuff he's talking about and the things he used for me to make example, those are things that I failed in. He always brings up my failures and wants to use them in a sermon. And then Jesus tells me, people think you're talking about them. I'm like, Lord, I don't know them. I wish I did know them, and then I'd show enough of these stuff.
You know, and I was going to say that. I was really going to say that. The Holy Spirit told me, you know, I think one of the things that all of us that run for Christ ministries are appreciative of and respect you mostly for is your transparency. You know, you hear a lot of things from us. You're our pastor. We go to you and tell you about difficulties and things that we have going on in our lives. So you take on a lot for us. But you never put those things out to us. There's confidentiality there, and you always keep the things that we give you, and we know that you take them to the Lord. But every time you preach and you give real life examples that are outside of the Bible, they're always about your life. And outside of witnessing to people and telling people the good news about Christ, our witness is the transparency that we should all have with one another, because people see your life. And like Jonathan preached last week, people are always watching us. We are being watched all the time. And not necessarily for it to be in a bad way, but we're always being looked at. And our witness to people don't always go by what you say. They go by what they see, you know. So you can say you do whatever, but people see what you actually do. And so your transparency is amazing. And just the way that you're not just making these things up, but everything you say is validated by a scripture in the Word. And that's how we know that the Word is alive, and that, like you said, the Lord never changes. The Word says the Lord doesn't change. We're the ones who change. He doesn't walk away from us. We walk away from him. And in all of our imperfections, Jesus died for all of that. So when you're talking about drawing near to him, we don't have to be right. We don't have to get right. But if we say we belong to him and we say that we love him, we have a responsibility to do what it is that he says, you know. And so the transparency is the most amazing thing to me. And your humility is the most amazing thing to me, because as people, it is very hard for us to say that we're wrong. It is hard for us to admit that we've done things wrong against others, or even, you know, when we do things private. You know, it's very hard. You even talk about the things that you've done wrong in your relationship with Christ. Like, nobody does that. You know?
I know. Everybody's a superhero.
Yes, but it teaches us that it's okay, because you don't just say, look, I stole money. I was trying to get unemployment and I wasn't employed. And yet and still here you are preaching the word of God. And but you have just, like, somebody got touched up with that. Somebody got touched up with that. Everything you say is relevant and it attaches to a scripture. So, I mean, there's a million things that I could say, but I think one of the biggest things that we will all just want to say is just thank you. Thank you for being so transparent with us and being so honest with us and telling us, hey, I'm jacked up and was jacked up just like you, but look at where the Lord has brought me. He is not going to leave me. He's not going to leave you. Confess that mess. Draw close to him, because the closer you get to him, the less and less you will want to do all of that mess. And he will give you the grace to be able to say what it is that you need to say and tell the truth and be transparent to other people without being embarrassed or without caring about how people are going to react, because you're helping someone else in the process. So we just say thank you. I say thank you. If nobody else wants to say thank you, forget them. I say thank you because it's just absolutely amazing. It's just absolutely amazing. And you tell all your business. So, no, Pastor O don't tell y'all business. And Pastor O be knowing our business, because he pray about us all the time, and he prays to the Lord about running for Christ all the time. And he got people that's not even – he's not even their pastor. And they tell him, you know, their business. And Pastor O does not reveal any of that to us. He takes it straight to the Lord. But for him to stand before us all the time and put his personal business out there, it's amazing. So we're thankful. We thank you, Pastor O. 2 weeks in a row, you brought us a word. And I don't know how many times you're going to keep doing this on Blog Talk, but we enjoy hearing you back on.
I'm off. I've been on vacation third Sunday of July.
This is a great vacation.
I'm telling you, I got the vacation from preaching Sunday. It had nothing to do with Saturday and Wednesday.
Clearly. But we appreciate it, and we're so very thankful. So we're going to let you go and bring it down a little bit. And so we're just thankful. We just really appreciate the time that you took and the fire with which you brought the word, because those of us who know you, we know that it is in you, and what we get from you is real. It is not fake. It is not artificial. It is true, and we can apply it to our lives. And so we're just thankful. So we thank you. So go ahead, chill out. I'm going to do these announcements. All right, y'all, listen up. Okay, it's Saturday, first Saturday in August. Time is just marching on. It's unbelievable. But nevertheless, it is a new month, and welcome to our Saturday morning worship service. I hope you all have had an amazing time. The service has been popping today, like the scripture and prayer and the music and the everything has just been amazing today. And so we're just so thankful to God for the Blog Talk platform. And we know that this word and this service is going to go out to so many people, and everybody's not going to hear it today, but we know that it will be heard by those who need to hear it, and we know God is going to make that happen. So we're just thankful. Amen. Amen. All right, y'all. So announcements are as follows. Please listen up. Amen. So in heaven, I will have a big purple podium, and it's going to be shiny and pretty, and I'm going to be standing up there with my megaphone giving announcements in heaven all day, every day. That is going to be my job. Amen. Y'all listen up. Amen. All right. So Sunday, tomorrow, August 7th, we will have our in-person Sunday school beginning at 9 a.m. Our worship service begins at 10 a.m. with our praise team leading us in song and in worship. This month, we will be having the Women of God Month. Amen. So each Sunday, we will have a woman preacher to speak to us on the women in the Bible. That is going to be so good. We will begin with our own assistant pastor, Janice Tate. We invite you to join us for the entire month and invite someone to come with you as well. All we ask is that you wear a mask in the sanctuary. Amen? That's pretty simple. Make sure you come with some clothes on. You ain't got to be dressed up fancy, because we don't do all that. Come as you are, but come. Amen? And even if you don't have a mask, we'll provide you with one. That's how we doing it over there. Amen. So come on out, bring someone with you. If you don't have a mask, no worries. We will provide you with one. If you're not able to make it, you're not comfortable with being in person, it's perfectly fine. We're not mad about that. You can also listen to our service here on Blog Talk Radio at 1 p.m. by visiting our church website at rfcm.org and clicking on Recorded Sunday Services. Amen. Also, don't forget, every Sunday at 4 p.m., our very own Deaconess Kathy Clyburn, our amazing presiding person, will be on Blog Talk Radio with her show entitled Bring Back the Family. Don't forget to tune in and give her your support. Also, don't forget, on Tuesdays, Reverend Richard Overall at 4 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio with Training Day. Let's see, every Wednesday at 6 p.m., we will hold our Bible reading class up here on Blog Talk Radio. Pastor O will be teaching from the book of Isaiah, chapters 6 to 10. The questions are available online at rfcm.org. Click on the Bible classes tab, or if you're in person at church on Sunday, they will be on the back table. Y'all know what's up with the back table. All free stuff, all types of information. We get snacks and stuff back there sometimes because people bring in stuff all the time. So always make sure to check the back table. So I mentioned this last week, but I'm going to be mentioning it every Saturday this month and ongoing actually for quite some time. So we have a new class that's going to be coming up, Church History. Amen. And it begins on Monday, September the 12th at 6 p.m. And it goes to 7 p.m. Pastor has said this is a one-hour class. Amen. 15 minutes for the readings and everything, 45 minutes for discussion. All right. Teacher is Pastor O. Again, this is a 15-week class. The textbook will be The Church That Jesus Built, and this is a book that has been written by Pastor O. Amen. So you can get your textbook one of three ways. One, you can visit Pastor O's website at www.pastorgmo.com. That's Pastor God's My Owner, GMO.com. Two, you can pick it up at the church office. Just make sure you call first for an appointment. The number is 313-819-3303. Again, 313-381-9303. Or you can just pick it up from church. Just see Sister Sheila Overall. Amen? Amen. I read about Wednesday. Okay, so now we have a really new major announcement. Like, new. Imagine if you were watching this on TV. I'm going to try to give it the same emphasis on TV as we would on the radio. Amen? So we have a new announcement, and I want you to save this date, okay? So think about this. Where can you get your kids enrolled for school, get a COVID-19 vaccine, some nearly new clothes, register to vote, and the most important thing, get you some Jesus? Well, at the Runner for Christ Ministries open house on Saturday, August 27th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Let me say that again. Runner for Christ Ministries is having an open house. Amen. We're so excited. And it is on Saturday, August the 27th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. So what date are you saving? Saturday, August 27th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Amen. That's right. Everything you need all in one place. And with food, games, and crafts, it is going to be fun. Amen. Oh, and did I mention it's all free? You know, we like free stuff, don't we? And, like, this is free. Like, you don't have to have no credit cards or nothing with you. This is free. Amen. So, yes, we are taking it to the streets with this outreach to the local community. Remember Jesus' charge to us in Matthew chapter 5, verse 16, to let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Amen. And since I know you're just not going to be able to pass this up, like, at all, I look forward to seeing you there. We look forward to seeing you there. Members of Runner for Christ Ministries are automatically co-hosts, so if you wish to help out, join the team, amen? If you have any questions about anything, definitely contact Deaconess June Rogers for more information, amen? So, again, we're saving the date, Saturday, August the 27th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. for the Runner for Christ Ministries open house, amen? Amen. So, in conjunction with the open house, we want to introduce the Sisters United Clothing Ministry in loving memory of Marsha Tate Fairman and Maureen Carruthers Tate. Amen. I think it's a beautiful name. It's absolutely wonderful. We are so excited. So the Sisters United Clothing Ministry will be accepting donations of new or gently used and clean clothing for the clothing drive. That's also going to be a part of our open house. Amen. So if you want to give donations, donations will be accepted on the Sundays in August. So the 7th, the 14th, the 21st, and obviously that following Saturday is our open house. So it needs to be on August the 7th and or August the 21st between 12 noon and 1:30 p.m. Okay, so if you want to donate, that's when you would donate the gently used, new, and clean clothing. And you can bring those donations to Running for Christ Ministries in the parking lot. Amen. And our address is 27035 West Outer Drive in Ecorse, Michigan. Amen. So if you want to bring donations for the clothing drive that is going to be a part of our open house that we're having, please bring it on Sundays, August the 7th, August the 14th, and August the 21st between 12 noon and 1:30 p.m. at the Running for Christ Ministries church parking lot. Again, 27085 West Outer Drive, 27085 West Outer Drive in Ecorse. Amen. If you have any questions or concerns, you can contact Sarah Tate McClendon at 313-405-8771 or Naomi Carter at 734-833-5968. Amen? Amen. So if you would like to pay your tithes or give any offerings, please visit our church website, rfcm.org, and click on Tithes and Offerings. If you would like to give a love offering to Pastor O, who brought us our word today, please remember to specify Pastor O when you give your offering, and we will see to it that he receives it. Amen. And so the Lord Jesus bless you in advance for your kindness in sharing with us and with him. Amen. Amen. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 16 through 18 says to rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. And we know that when you pray first, like Pastor O said, when he wake up, the Lord, right there, first person he sees, first person he talks to. I would freak out, too, if I was calling on Jesus. And I'm like, Jesus, what? I feel like you're not answering me. What's going on? Where you at? Where you at? Amen. So we know that when you pray first, over time, okay, you when you put God first, you will find yourself praying continually and seeking the Lord first in everything that you do, giving God what's, you know, first, not what you got left. Amen. At the end of the day. So we do want to continue to ask your prayers for those who are sick, those who are shut in, hospitalized, incarcerated. Of course, we need to pray for one another. We need to pray for ourselves, absolutely. Pray for our schools. It's hard to believe, I guess, you know, here where we are, school doesn't start until September, the day after Labor Day. But we've got kids who get out early across the country. You know, that some of them get out in May. You know, so they're already back in school. So we have got to push them all the way to the top of the list because we've had some not so great things go on. And I know some of our babies are afraid. I know there are a lot of parents out there who are afraid. And our children deserve to be able to go to school and make friends and have fun and not be afraid to go to school. Amen. So we need to make sure that we pray for our children. Pray for our schools and our teachers and our administrators. Continue to pray for, you know, all of the doctors and the medical professionals. We got COVID still out there. Numbers are going up. You got monkeypox out there. It's like, really? Okay. But we knew these things would happen. The word says it. So, but you only gonna know what the word says if you read it. Amen? Continue to pray for, of course, our nation, our world, our leaders, as they constantly face major decisions that affect all of us, the many who are missing and exploited, you know, being trafficked and abused. Please make sure, as Pastor has mentioned, the unprecedented flooding that has happened, you know, down in Kentucky, and you're talking about West Coast, Nevada, California, all of them running out of water and things like that. I mean, you know, there's so much going on in the world, it's almost hard to even know or to keep up with it. But that's why I love Pastor O, because he watches a lot of TV. Amen. He watches YouTube and all types of stuff. But then he also brings that information to us and lets us know things that are going on. So we got our own personal newsman and Pastor O at Run for Christ Ministries. So it's awesome. You know, so just remember, all of our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world, one of the biggest group of people to remember and to pray for are those who don't know Jesus. Because this thing is going to be a wrap very, very soon. The big picture here is that all of this stuff that we're fighting to keep is going away. It's dying. It's passing away. But everything that we have, it comes from God. He owns everything. The bed you sleep in, the car you drive, the money you have, everything belongs to God. Amen. So it's strictly on loan to us. So when we shift our focus from the things that we have and trying to hold on to what we have to paying attention to those who don't know Christ, when you're talking eternity, eternity is a long time. Amen. So we got people that are going to spend eternity apart from God. So we need to focus, reel it back in, and pray for those who are unsaved and who don't know the Lord. And we ask God to help us to each do our part. All of us who are in the body of Christ to do our part to help get souls saved. Amen. We want to say special prayers for Nico Gaston, who is sick. We were able to see her last week, so please make sure to keep her lifted up in prayer. Deacon Eric Reed had his procedure done, so it was great to hear his voice on Wednesday, so please keep him lifted up in prayer. Of course, Tyrone Hamilton, Deacon Rayfield Rogers. Please remember all of our mothers on the move, Mother Cheryl, Mother Persia, Mother Marilyn. excuse me. Please keep Minister John McFall in your prayers as he's in rehab. Again, keep all of our members in prayers, especially the ones that we miss being on Sundays. Keep Loretta and Oliver and Kimberly in your prayers. Continue to pray for, again, our president, our vice president, you know, all the leaders, our local communities, and most definitely our youth. That cannot be stressed enough. Also, please keep all those who are mourning and bereaved and grieving in your prayers. And this is everywhere, not just those who you know, but everywhere, especially our own assistant pastor, Jonathan Tate, and the loss of his father, Deaconess June Rogers, and the loss of her brother. So many other families that have lost loved ones, remember just to pray. God is going to do what he said. He is a comforter. He is a God of peace. He is a God of healing. He is a God of restoration. And we know that we say time heals all wounds, but when you just allow the Lord to embrace you and do what it is that he needs to do in you, you'll be surprised that time will go by and you'll feel so much better about things. So we do ask that, you know, they all be comforted and lifted up and just be given peace during their time of grieving and mourning. Amen. Amen. So it's a new month. It's the month of August. So we want to say happy birthday to all the Blog Talk listeners all over the world who have celebrated in these first couple days in this month. I only have 3 birthdays on my calendar for Run for Christ Ministry members for the month of August. So Deaconess Danielle Mackey will be celebrating on the 17th. I feel that it is appropriate for me, because she was my mom, to say her birthday, because this will be the first year that she is in heaven. So my mother, Mother Louisa, who passed away in January, she's going to be having her heavenly birthday, amen, this year on the 19th. So, of course, I wanted to mention that. And Robin is going to be having her birthday on the 24th. I know there's got to be more people out there at church. I'm going to have to get them on my list. But, amen, so we just say happy birthday and send love, hugs, and kisses and all that stuff to all of our members at Run for Christ Ministries who will be celebrating this month. Amen. Amen. And last but not least is your devotional for today, which is entitled The Joy of the Lord. So we have a great high priest who constantly intercedes on our behalf. The Son of God and man loves you more deeply than you can fathom. He prays for you that you might walk in the abundant life his death affords you. And in John chapter 17, we get a glimpse into the fullness of his desire for all those who will believe in him. As we dive deeply into the riches of Jesus' high priestly prayer May your heart be awakened and your life be transformed by the riches of God's love. So the scripture is, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. And that's John chapter 17, verse 13. Jesus came to bring about the fullness of joy in man. Often we see Christians who are not exhibiting a lifestyle of joy, and therefore we assume God is not a happy God. We see all the darkness that's around and assume that God is most often angry or sad. But in John chapter 17, verse 13, Jesus prayed to the Father, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Jesus' prayer in John chapter 17, verse 13, demonstrates two important life-changing truths for you and me today. First, Jesus had joy. Amen. We could not have his joy fulfilled in us if he doesn't have joy to start with. And the whole of Scripture supports the truth that within God dwells the fullness of joy. Psalm 16, verse 11 says, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. And Galatians chapter 5:22 tells us that joy is a fruit of the Spirit. The God whom you have been fulfilled with at salvation longs to produce the fruit of joy in your life. He longs to make you a joyful person from the inside out, that your joy wouldn't be based on circumstances or the fleeting whims of this world. Second, John chapter 17 tells us that we can have the joy of Jesus for ourselves. The God of joy longs to fill you to overflowing with satisfaction and hope. He longs to make your joy abundant and transcendent of the good or bad around you. God is joyful because it's a part of his nature, and he longs for it to be the same with you. Do you believe that God is a joyful God? Have you experienced how happy he is? Have you met with him and encountered the joy and peace in his heart towards you? Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17 says, the Lord your God is in your midst, a mighty one who will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you by his love. He will exult over you with loud singing. God longs to meet with you today and fill you with joy to overflowing. In Romans chapter 15, verse 13, Paul prays, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Joy is available to you today as you believe. There is hope in the Spirit. There is hope in the Holy Spirit. To God today with all your cares and burdens, lay them at his feet and allow him to fill you with peace and joy where only heaviness abounded. God longs to set you free from the burdens of anxiety. He longs to lead you to a life of happiness and freedom in the Spirit. As you enter into guided prayer, choose to commit to God anything that has been weighing you down. Come before him with faith that he will shepherd you to greener pastures as you offer him your heart and follow his guidance. So here's a couple steps on guided prayer. One, meditate on God's desire to fill you with the joy of Jesus. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Again, that's John 17, 13. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. That's Galatians 5:22-23. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy, but I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. That is John chapter 10, verse 10. Two, lay your burdens at the feet of Jesus. What concern, problem, circumstance, or relationship has been weighing on you? What has been stealing your joy lately? Cast all your cares at the feet of your heavenly Father who loves you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you, to fill you with joy inexpressible. Ask him to reveal to you his joy and to help you bear the fruit of his Spirit. Oftentimes, we allow ourselves to be continually downcast rather than fighting for the joy available to us in God. joy is a vital part of the Christian life. We are not made to carry burdens that steal our joy and keep us from the abundant life Jesus died to give us. Again, Psalm 16:6 says, "The lines have fallen for me in pleasant places. Indeed, I have a beautiful inheritance. God has plans to lead you to a life filled with the fullness of joy. May you pursue all the wonders and blessings God has in store for you today through the powerful sacrifice of Jesus Christ." Amen. Amen. Have joy. Have joy and share some joy with other people. Why? Because we belong to Jesus and Jesus had joy. Amen. Amen. And those are your announcements.
Well.
Wow.
Deacon Reed, well, after that, amen.
Yes, well.
Oh, did y'all hear what she said? See what you did? You got me off.
I did it.
You did it. You got the preaching over there.
Lord have mercy.
You know I'm wild now.
I know.
I love to go to the store one day and say, "Can I get some round?"
They're gonna call the ambulance on you.
You're like, "Oh, he having a stroke. He having a stroke. Help the man." Amen.
Oh, Lord, have mercy. Amen.
Lord, you should see that. You should see this look. I'm gonna take a picture of him. Come back, and give me that look again. Amen.
Amen.
Baby ghost just gave me a look like, for real. For real.
Yeah, yeah.
This is
stop.
What you
here
put
you
on
go.
Top of the ice cream.
Right.
Crystal, this is all your fault. So I just had to go ahead and
yes.
let you have it all your fault.
I'll take it.
You know, I ain't gonna be selfish and try to claim any of it. It's your
just
fault.
Keep it. No, share yeah. that, share that. I'll take it.
You're being too awesome, and there you go. You're awesome.
Lord
just
have
awesome
mercy.
To me.
Oh,
you're
Holy
awesome
Spirit
to
always
me.
Doing his job. Always on his
you
job.
You can tell I'm out of the preaching mode, huh?
Absolutely.
Anyway.
Yes. Amen.
So I'm on vacation now till Tuesday.
Yes.
But keep Deaconess Deacon and Deaconess Raphael Rogers and June Rogers in your mm-hmm. prayers as they, you know, deal with the homegoing of her brother. And so,
yeah.
you know, just keep them in prayer, and you know she know how to pray.
Yeah.
And you know he
okay.
know how to pray. He'll scare the devil
mm-hmm.
away. He's like, "Get up out of here." Amen.
You
so keep them
right.
in your prayers. Don't forget Pastor Jonathan Tate and homegoing of his pops.
Amen.
Keep him in the prayers too. But you already said that. Amen.
Yep. Yep.
Amen.
Nothing wrong with
so,
emphasis. Amen.
Nothing wrong with it at all. Amen. So tell Mir we said what's up, and we can get on to the rest of this Saturday.
Amen. All right.
All right, be blessed with an ED on the
you
end.
Too. ED, amen. Ed.
Jesus, like you too. Y'all just dumb.
I know, right? Never ending.
You're like all in heaven waiting for you two to start talking.
Lord
saying,
have mercy. We coming,
crazy.
Jesus. We coming.
We'll be the ones telling jokes and making people laugh.
Okay.
Anyway.
I'm telling you. Cutting up. Amen.
Be blessed, Crystal.
Amen. You too.
Amen. We thank everybody for tuning in, and we pray that, you know, the Lord, he went through a whole lot to bring us close to him, and that was to give up his son. Now, you know, some things you need to know. When Jesus was on that cross, you know, we know the Lord does not speak idle words. And Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." And I asked Jesus the question, but he ain't asked me. I said, why did you say that? What was God getting ready to do that you said, "Forgive them, for they know"? Was he about to do something? But, of course, I didn't get no answer, and God didn't do nothing. He listened to Jesus, right? And we are still here. So, and Jesus died, and he got up, and so we're his children now. Now, what hurts the Lord and what breaks his heart, there's people who say they love him, but he don't never see them trying to get close to him. The only way you can get close to God is reading, knowing, and doing his word. That is it. There is no other way. You might think you're close to God, but if you're not doing what he said, he ain't your Lord. He is Savior. But the good news is, one second. The good news is you can change that. You, not Jesus, not God. our Father. But you, all you have to do is humble yourself under him. Read what he says. Let God see this week that you're a changed person. Starting tomorrow, you will not be late for church. You won't treat the Lord like that. Okay, don't treat him like that. What if Jesus was late to the cross? I mean, and then late getting up Sunday morning. That would mean he didn't care that much about our salvation. But he was not late to the cross, and neither was he late getting up Sunday morning, and neither was he late extending salvation to anybody who would just believe. So don't treat him like that. And God gives you everything. You wouldn't have nothing without him. Stop not tithing. Stop that. Don't listen to these silly preachers who are all mixed up on that mess. The same way God supported his church in the Old Testament is the same way he's supporting it in the New Testament. It's just that simple. Don't treat him like that. You know, I know it sounds like I'm pleading with you. That's because the Lord wants me to plead with you. It breaks his heart when he sees his children go through a whole week ain't open up a Bible. And if you run at Running for Christ Ministries and we had them questions in a Bible reading class and you ain't answered them in 7 days, but you love the Lord. The Lord went through too much to bring us close to him. He wanted us close where we could never be lost or far from him again. But somehow we found a way to do that, even though we in Christ. He's not ever talking to the world. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 5 tells us that God... I'm going to read it to you, and I'm going to close. If you can't take it, then you can go on and click out. Amen. You can go. If this too much for you, too long for you, then click out. Amen. That's because the Lord trying to look. Listen to me. We're about to go home. Okay? Jesus coming back to get his church. And you haven't done anything to earn any rewards. Okay? Your storage being in heaven that's supposed to be filled up with your treasures that you sent up to heaven, they're not there. And before you are forever out of here with no way to earn treasure in heaven because it'll just be over with, amen, look, he wants you to start getting busy. Don't listen, okay? You don't even have to listen. Just get mad and call me names. But anyway, listen to what the Lord say about him not dealing with the world. Listen to what he says. This is about the boy who was in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. They had just got saved, right? And the church ain't been in existence that long. They didn't have a whole lot of Bible. And so this boy was sleeping with his mother, his father's wife. And then according to Corinthian culture, that was a thing before, I guess, but now it's in the church and they ain't doing nothing about it. He says, I wrote to you before. I told you not to associate with people who indulge in sexual sin. Could you imagine if we did that? People in the church, we couldn't even deal with them. But I wasn't talking about unbelievers who indulge in sexual sin or greedy or cheat people or worship idols. You would have to leave this world to avoid people like that. I meant that you are not to associate with anyone who claims to be a believer. That word claim scare me. You claim to be a believer, yet you indulge in sexual sin. You're greedy. You worship idols. You're abusive. You're a drunkard. You cheat people. Jesus says, don't even eat with such people. Now listen. It isn't my responsibility to judge outsiders, people who don't belong to the Lord. But it certainly is your responsibility to deal with those inside the church who are sinning. Listen, God will judge those outside. But as the scriptures say, you must remove that evil person from among you. He was talking about that boy. In other words, in 2 Corinthians, they brought him back in after he got right, like the prodigal son came to his senses, went back home. Church, Jesus went through a whole lot. When he was in that garden sweating drops of blood and was anxious, like anxiety you will probably never ever feel in your life, and he said, thy will be done, not mine, at a time like that, now, shouldn't we do the same? Amen. Erica Campbell wrote a song, and it simply says, well done.
Oh,
see you later.
Upon his face, let us sing forever of his saving grace. streets of glory. Let me lift my voice. Cares all past, hold me last, ever to rejoice.
I wanna hear her say,
give it back to you. You give me my husband, you know I love him, and I'll give him back so you know I'm all in. Lord, take my children, my family. I want you to know that you have me. I need to know that you're happy. Yeah, when I finally stop breathing, yeah. King on the throne. Hold up, wait a minute. Gold streets, gold mansion. Just because I look gone with a passion. Can't get you when it gets, but if you're asking, he'll give you that. How can you imagine living without all his grace? Sometimes I still get amazed. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Prayed you for all of my days. Until I finally stop breathing, yeah.
The communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all till we meet again. And the whole church said, amen.